Hello, it is January 27th, 2015. You are looking live at Phoenix, Arizona. This is episode 460 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports and Earth. I am Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. A little bit of a fib to start off our podcast this week. I claim right now that I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not. I'm actually in Athens, Georgia. But by the time you listen to this, I will be in Phoenix, Arizona. For the Super Bowl, of course. Super Bowl 49. I was hoping, I was going to see if I can just wait 3 to 4, maybe 5 more seconds to see if I can make it through the first 40 seconds of this podcast without saying anything about Deflategate or Ballgazi, which is a much better name. And I know I mentioned Ballgazi in a tweet, and I got yelled at by a few people, understandably so, saying that it was somehow trivializing a tragedy, which I think is, there's an element of truth to that. If, of course, we were, of course, not talking about, when we use the term Benghazi, we're not talking about the tragedy, we're talking about all the people that keep yelling Benghazi about everything. That's what we're making fun of. But regardless, Benghazi actually, I feel like, gets it right on several levels. I'm hoping by the time I actually get there, by the time you actually listen to this, this will finally be go away. I wrote a piece for Sports North about how I literally think it's one of the dumbest sports stories I've ever written about in my entire life. I was on Fox News, of all places. That's always a bad sign when Fox News asks you to go on and talk about footballs. But anyway, so we're going to try to talk about the Super Bowl. This is a big Super Bowl preview podcast. Today's guest is Frank Schwab. He's actually already out in Arizona. He's there now. He'll presumably still be there by the time that I get there, by the time you listen to this tomorrow. But so maybe I'll see him out there. He's the NFL writer for NFL writer, perhaps the lead NFL writer. Eric Edholm may have something to say about that. The NFL writer for Yahoo NFL blog Shutdown Corner. We're going to preview the Super Bowl and see how it's like out there. And so on. And Super Bowl, it's going to be fun. I will be there. This is my fourth Super Bowl week I've attended, but the third game I went to. I went to the last time that the Super Bowl was in Phoenix. I was there for the writing about for the New York Times. But I didn't go to the game, which was turned out to be a big mistake. That game was awesome. But now this is my third actual game I've been to. I went to the last one in New York last year, and then I went to the one in Indianapolis when the Patriots were there last. So I've seen some pretty cool Super Bowls. I'm looking forward to it. I love to get to Arizona. I can find a lot of Arizona Cardinal merchandise finally. Regardless, we're going to preview the Super Bowl with Frank Schwab. All right, Mr. Schwab, first, thank you for coming on with me. I've already explained in your intro that this podcast will be going up Tuesday. I am currently in Georgia, but will be in Arizona when the podcast goes up. You are already in Arizona. So assuming that the place doesn't go up in a fiery flame between now and then, you're there. How is it? How many Super Bowls have you been to before?
This is just my second one.
Just your second, actually. Yeah. This is my third.
Just the second one.
Yeah, this is my third.
It was a last little year? warmer than last year. Yeah. New York was fun, but this is a little warmer. I enjoy it. And yes, when this podcast goes up, we'll both be sitting there watching Marshawn Lynch not talk to the media. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm skipping really out on media day. I have to say, I went one year, and it's funny. I actually had the thought that as far as these things go, this could maybe be as close as you could possibly get to an interesting media day, if just because the Lynch thing has become such a spectacle at this point. Yeah. And like, it's become like, if for the first time, the spectacle of the player will actually be more, will equal the spectacle of whatever madness is going on around there. And of course, with the balls and everything. But I don't know. I'm still not going. I saw, like, it's just something about it that hurts my soul.
Yeah, I try to avoid all the craziness, the people in wedding dresses and the Univision people dressed up to get attention, and try to focus on players you can actually talk to. That was kind of fun last year, to getting, because there are, you know, everybody's there. It's not just the guys on the podium. So I think I got some stuff done. But yeah, you try to even get close to last year's Peyton Manning's, you know, big podium there. Nothing. There's nothing resembling anything I want to do with what I got my journalism degree for. So, yes, it's probably a smart move by you to skip out. I'm not blaming you.
Oh, no, I'm still going to pay to go watch. I mean, I'm not crazy. But I'm just not going to get in the scrum. I'm curious. It's always funny to me, because I wrote about last year with New York. One of the reasons I think they'll never have it in New York again is not so much the weather, because I think the weather was fine, and we all got our butts toasted, if memory serves correctly, from last year, because they warmed up the press box right. Just because we're pampered little babies. But my general issue, I think the reason they probably won't do the Super Bowl last year is the Super Bowl just got swallowed up by New York. Like, it became this thing.
It was weird. Yeah, it was one of those where, it was my first Super Bowl, but I've heard that if it's in Indianapolis, the whole city turns into the Super Bowl. And you can even see that in Phoenix. The city is the Super Bowl this week. And in New York, it was kind of like, oh, is there something going on? Really? Yeah. Oh, Super Bowl. Yeah. Okay, whatever. We're going on with our lives. It was really – New York was so much bigger than the event. It was kind of crazy.
And you can tell it kind of pissed off the NFL. I'm not going to lie. It really did. Like, and it's funny because, I joked it just became another – because they had that, like, you know, they basically what they're doing in downtown Phoenix is what they did in Times Square with, like, the big slide and all the big foo-for-all. But it was just another reason to avoid Times Square. Like when it was in New York, and I just got this vibe that whole week of people really just like irritated, like, oh, well, like it's like they don't even appreciate that we're here. Well, no, I know that the NFL is used to just like they blink and everybody just scatters. So I kind of liked that brief week long humbling that they got, that they will of course never learn any lessons from and never acknowledge again.
Oh, well,
to say the least.
Here's a question. I talked about this. I live in Denver.
Yeah.
Is there ever going to be another cold weather Super Bowl, you think? And I don't think so. I think it was just, hey, we love New York. We're the commissioner's office. We're Park Avenue. We're going to do it in New York because New York is great. I don't see why you couldn't do it in a Kansas City or Denver. I think it would be a fun experience.
Well, is the new Minnesota Stadium, is that a dome too?
Yes. Okay. I'm talking outdoor cold weather, obviously. Right, you're going to give anybody who gets the taxpayers to pay them money for a new stadium. You're going to reward them in Minneapolis. I'm not looking forward to that already. But yes, but an outdoor cold I had no problem with the whole idea of a cold weather Super Bowl. Like some of the greatest games in NFL history. If the Ice Bowl was 50 degrees, we wouldn't talk about it ever. Nobody would care. If the Tuck Rule game, we might talk about that one. But it was made better because of the weather. I don't see why the Super Bowl is exempt. I'd love to see another cold. I'd love to see a snow Super Bowl. Why not?
It is funny though, like it wasn't until I actually went to a few of them where I started to kind of understand how just the logistics of everything is just the madness of it all. You know, because to me, like Atlanta hosts events all the time. It's like they host the Final Four. They're going to host a national championship game. They do stuff all the time, but they will never. Maybe the new stadium, maybe, and they're going to need to be convinced. Because when you talk to people that have covered Super Bowls for a long time or have been involved in the world of football for a long time, the two cities that make them twitch, Jacksonville, and Atlanta. And the reason
I think you could put Houston on that list.
Yeah.
That was a disaster. Yeah.
And the Atlanta one was because you know basically Atlanta was unseasonably cold, and they call it the Black Ice. Super Bowl because like if there's even the slightest bit of ice, I live in Athens now, the slightest bit of ice down here, everything shuts down. Like everything is and we've seen what happens if they even delay that a bit. People are on the road stranded for 24 hours. So
here's the crazy thing. Yeah. The crazy thing is. Let's say that the NFL decided, you know, we'll just wait a year. We'll have the Super Bowl in 2015.
Yeah.
Well, they're having like a snowmageddon there. I mean, you thought the people complaining from the Atlanta Super Bowl, as far as media goes. Can you imagine? Like this week in Manhattan, you couldn't get around. You couldn't get to anybody's availability. You're just stuck in your hotel because there's 30 inches of snow. People will be losing their minds this week if the Super Bowl is there.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think they actually also got hit with a big blizzard around this time 2 years ago. Because we talked about them, like, oh, if they get hit next year. So they just totally
Well, there was one on Monday. That's the thing. Yeah. I couldn't get out. I was delayed like 6 hours. And I know a lot of people didn't get out at all. It was so like the NFL just being so Teflon. Everything fall. Even when they do something like this and gamble on the weather, it ends up being 50 on Sunday and a blizzard on Monday. That's just how the NFL rolls.
Yeah, they even keep God's cable ratings up. And so therefore he's like, all right, fine. And it's funny. This year, you know, the NFL has certainly gotten more scrutiny this year and certainly more, more people are criticizing it than ever. But it's just none of it still, like, if there's a proof, Bloomberg I write for Bloomberg a lot, and they had a poll saying that, like, Well, football's in trouble because people from upper middle class families are saying they don't want their kids to play. And I'm like, well, then they sure, but they don't. They want to watch other. They want to watch poor kids play.
Yeah, I don't want to watch. I don't want my daughter to go into boxing, but there's a good fight on. If Pacquiao fights Mayweather, I'm going to watch. Like, and, it's totally different. That's the thing. I got so many emails in September. Like, oh my god, the NFL's dying. It's in so much trouble. And then the ratings are exactly the same, maybe even better because the Thursday night CBS bump. And DirecTV re-ups its contract with the NFL at basically a 50% increase. Like, no business in America is doing a 50% increase anymore. But here's the NFL who's just running out of a product that everybody's railing against. And yet DirecTV is like, oh, yeah, we'll add a few billion onto our Sunday ticket deal. It's the NFL is just a runaway train at this point.
It is. And, you know, it's funny because – you know, I've liked the NFL my whole life, but it has turned, what it's become now is it's turned into something that is more powerful. And I think Goodell happened to be standing there when it happened, but as opposed to the guy that like has somehow pushed this through. But their power now is, I mean, they're basically boosting the entire television industry. The whole thing is being kept afloat by the NFL.
You can't even compare NFL to other sports anymore. Yeah. You have to compare it to like the best companies in America. Like literally, like we're talking about like Apple versus the NFL. Like that's how big the NFL is now. They're one of the few businesses in America that's pretty much printing money. Anything they do, it just doesn't matter. They're so successful right now. You can't. They're not even comparable anymore to baseball or the NBA or anybody else. They're just so far ahead of everybody.
Yeah, you're right. And like as a baseball guy, I'll confess that. I find it frustrating that it's like not so much the NFL is doing well, but when people try to compare baseball to the NFL, like yes, the NFL is going to kick. The NFL also kicks the ass of literally every single other thing on television.
Everything. The Pro Bowl, I mean, the ratings went down again this year, but last year, the Pro Bowl ratings, as far as viewers go, was higher than any NBA playoff game, I believe, and higher than any Major League playoff game other than the finals in the World Series. Yeah. And that just shows – the Pro Bowl – I don't know anybody who watches the Pro Bowl, but somebody does because it's doing better than like Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals or whatever.
Well, I mean, it's also doing better than basically everything on television but The Walking Dead.
How did that happen? Of all things, Walking Dead is taking a chick out of the NFL's arm.
Yeah, it is. It's and so that's the thing, though, is that like, you know, for me, when you see this power that they have, and I always thought one of the great moments of the NFL's power this season was when. When at the AFC Championship game, when Nance, who clearly hates doing the awful Thursday night games, like he obviously hates it. He knows, like, the idea that he's calling that horrible Rams Cardinals game, dreaming of the Masters. You just know it the entire time, just like miserable doing it. But like with this total Stockholm face, saying we are totally thrilled to be bringing back next year, and to see like every network. Like constantly saying, after this, go watch NBC because the NFL is telling them to do so. They are more powerful than any of the networks that they show games on, and it just blows me away more every year. And so the Super Bowl now, you know, the Super Bowl used to be like this anomaly of like the NFL gets good ratings, but the Super Bowl is this massive thing. Yeah. But now the Super Bowl is even beyond that, to the point that it's to be there. I found this for me the last three, to be there almost diminishes it.
It is a little weird. Yeah, yeah. It's. I tried telling somebody this the other day. I'm glad you brought this up because it was my dream to cover a Super Bowl, and I love being here. I'm not complaining at all. Yeah. Trust me, it's great. It's fun. It's cool. It was awesome to be there last year, even though the game was kind of a blowout. But once the game kicks off, you're like, oh, I'm at a regular football game. Right. It's not that pomp and circumstance of that. TV actually does an unbelievable job producing a Super Bowl. It seems like I am like watching history. This is the biggest event ever. There's a reason this is one of the top five most viewed television shows of all time, blah, blah, blah. But when you're at the stadium, you're kind of like, it's a game. it's a strange thing. It's really hard to explain. And I'm not complaining, trust me.
Yeah, no, I think it's right, you know, and like even the halftime show, like I was at the one in Indianapolis that Madonna performed.
Okay.
And like on television, it was kind of fun to imagine what it must look like on television, but but in person, it was just like there was this little dot hopping around every once in a while, and we were all holding up cards, and nobody knew why, and I think it kind of speaks to the larger thing about the NFL, in that to be there at games, you're essentially a prop on a soundstage.
Yes.
Like, as a fan or a media person, you are there at this point, the media, and you see it with Lynch, you see this across the board now. Media is increasingly irrelevant in the NFL because they can just go right around because nobody really cares.
No, I do agree with that. And also, it, just as far as NFL goes, like, they could play these games in an absolutely empty stadium. It's like NCAA tournament. You can play these games in absolutely empty stadiums. It doesn't matter. It's a TV business. It's all it is. And if they got a crowd, it really adds to the atmosphere. But that's not why the NFL is in business anymore. It's in a TV business. And as far as, like, you know, does it, I will say the NFL or the media does help the NFL tremendously because it's a different sport. You have 6 days off, basically, not counting Monday night, Thursday night, and all that. But you have 6 days off. But yet everything we write from Monday to Saturday gets just consumed by so many people, and they love reading in the NFL. And this is their soap opera for a lot of people. And that's why the NFL has these media rules. And I don't know if that's changing or even matters. I think we're going to write about it, whether we have access to the players through social media or regular means. But yes, it's a strange way the NFL, even in the – I've covered it since 2000, basically. The way it's changed and evolved, and it's getting bigger and not smaller.
Yeah, and you and I look, I'm very proud of us, by the way. We've gone 15 minutes into a conversation and haven't brought up the balls yet. So
thank you, and I appreciate it.
and I actually want to bring it up in a more of a meta sense because I think there is a notion of that like, I've read your stuff about this, and I think, you know, everything I've written, like, it's like, I think this is literally one of the dumbest things I've ever written about in my entire life. Right. And yes, and like, across the board. Like, it's actually been kind of fun to write about it because it's so stupid. And it's fun to be... It's just so many people that are being so stupid about it.
I have gotten so many crazy emails. I should do a post on just compiling crazy emails from the... How do you know the Colts didn't sabotage the Patriots? To, like, people numbering, like, 15 different conspiracy theories they have. It's just... It's been nutty. I agree.
Yeah, and... But that's the thing, though, is that, like, this really the... Like, two things. One, this is really just kind of the logical extension of the soap opera thing that we're talking about. Like, the idea of... The idea that, like, oh, this is stupid. Yeah, you know, like, it's funny. When we did a piece... my editor at Sports on Earth on Thursday said, well, can you put this in the perspective of dumb... Because I agree with you, Will, that this is the dumbest sports story of all time. One of the dumbest sports stories. Can you put that among, like, you know, rank that, like, where it is in the biggest dumb stories awesome. Of all time? And I actually thought about it. I was like, you know what? When you take a step back, 99% of all sports stories are stupid in a week. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, like, which brought up the idea that, like, let's just do the dumbest sports stories from January. And it was 23 days in, and it was amazing how many stories that were idiotic. I'm like, right, we were really upset about Kurt Schilling saying he didn't get votes because he was a Republican. We were really upset because John Elway said John Elway instead of John Fox. Like, when you take a step back, it's all completely stupid. It's all completely stupid. And all you're really doing is filling time, which to me, in the NFL, is masters at filling time. Not just with
television. Oh, yeah.
They're masters at it. Like, again, going back to the experience of being at the game, people talk about baseball being boring to watch in person. Trust me, football is so boring to be at in person because you're like, it's awesome when something happens, but most of the time you're sitting out commercials, and they're so good at that. They are a media organization more than they are a league.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, and I think you were getting to this, is that everybody's like, oh, what a terrible thing for the NFL that we're talking about this controversy. What are you talking about? The NFL, I mean, the NFL is the ultimate any publicity is good publicity endeavor, except for, you know, the Aaron Hernandez, Ray Ray. Not that.
Yeah.
They don't want it, obviously.
And dead brains. Yes, that too.
Yes. But this is just a football. This is a silly football thing. At the end of the day, people are so worked up, but it's a silly, stupid, deflated football story. That literally the NFL dominated everything all week when they had nothing to talk about. Everybody was talking about this Patriots controversy all week leading up to their greatest television production they're going to have all year. That's awesome for the NFL. The NFL is loving this, even if they're not going to ever say it publicly. This was unbelievably great for the NFL, just like Richard Sherman last year was great for the NFL. It's something to fill the time, and they do a phenomenal job at that.
Yeah, I'm now going to look this up. I want to use the term. This is my favorite fainting couch moment of the NFL in a while, when they actually said, what did they say? Here's the actual term that they used when they heard about the accusations. They said that they were what's the exact actual word? They said they were, they said they were, upset. They were said they were upset. They had this perfect word.
Disturbed and distraught.
Distraught. That's what it was. They were distraught by this controversy, which is the best. This is exactly the type of thing they love, because not only you're right, is a ton of publicity, it's good publicity, but it's also they get to, like, this is the type of thing where they want to be the Law and Order people. This is the one thing want to be able to be like, we are. They're not protecting themselves. They're protecting the game. They're protecting
the shield.
Dignity.
Protecting the shield.
Yeah, they're protecting the dignity. Protecting, like, we are really all. We are just about. We just want fair play. We just want fair play. And it is exactly. Thank you for saying distraught. I would have looked for that word everywhere, and it would have been ruined an already me babbling podcast. And so, because it is, that's what this is. Like, they are a perfect. It is a perfect story for them. And it's fine that, like everything else, as you brought earlier about, talk about in September when people are upset about the NFL. This happens constantly. One of my favorite things to do is to go back and look at all the writers that said after the Frontline documentary, which was last year's big thing, after the Frontline documentary, being like, man, I don't know. I don't feel good watching these games anymore. Like, I feel like, and like literally 2 weeks later, I don't know. I like Jacksonville to cover that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally just so wishy-washy. And I think it's like, I had a buddy back, this is years ago, obviously, he would pick Ken Griffey Jr. to win the MVP every year because he assumed that one of these years he's going to be right. And I think that's the way it is with the demise of the NFL stories. Everybody says, oh my God, this is what's going to kill the NFL, because someday they're probably going to be right and it's going to dip a little bit. They're going to say, see, I told you. But they're going to predict this every single year until it happens. And we're probably going to get 50 more stories in the next 5 years that this is the demise of the NFL. This is why the NFL is going to die. And, well, we'll see. We will see.
To be fair, there has been some evidence to come up this year that the NFL might be run by a moron. like, to be fair, there is some reason to think that, okay, this guy can't continue to fall upwards like this. And that's why I talk about, like, sure, Goodell's really good at projecting this image of a leader and so on, but when you, like, when you see the explanations for some of the stuff they've gone through this year, like, either they're lying or idiots or both. Like, it's impossible to look otherwise, but I just don't think it matters.
No, it doesn't, because even look at this. We talk, again, good publicity, bad publicity, doesn't matter. People, if I tweet right now about Roger Goodell, and just take a contrarian view, say Roger Goodell's the greatest commissioner ever, I'm going to get a billion tweets back on that. And nobody cares about really Adam Silver or the other commissioners or whoever runs the NCAA and all that. But it's even Goodell being incompetent and a villain and all this has become a boon for the NFL. It's unintended, but it happened. And the thing is, we all say, oh my God, Goodell needs to resign and this and that. The only 32 people who matter are the owners. And he has made those men richer than they could ever imagine. Their money's falling out of their pockets as they walk down the street. Why would those men ever remove Roger Goodell from office? They're making money. That's all they care about.
Yeah. And again, it's just weird because, like, you know, this is a convergence of circumstances. Like, yes, the NFL is really powerful. And yes, they've done a good job of making these games. It's also this perfect game to watch on television. Like, it's perfect.
Oh, it's perfect.
Like, I have friends, like, one of the many, many nice things about, I miss New York. I miss the blizzards. I miss, you know, the people on the subway. But, you know, one of the great things I love about living among normal people is, like, people that don't care about football watch football. Like it is like woven in. People have it on the background when they're not even, it's just on the way that the radio might have been on in the 50s. It is amazing kind of thing, as someone that, as you know, as someone that watches this closely, when you hang out with normal people and the football is just, it is woven into our lives now in a way that is shocking, I have to say. And you've been doing this since 2000. Was that the, like, I know football was always popular, but it does feel, when you combine that with the way the media landscape is now, where live television is so much more powerful than it was before, that makes the NFL more powerful. But do you remember, like, the NFL has gotten more popular since we've been doing this?
Absolutely.
So that can't just be the media landscape, can it?
And, I mean, think about it, too. In 2000, the internet was what it was at that point. and we had just started to figure out you could play fantasy football on the internet, and they would track your stats. I mean, that's, let's be honest. I mean, this is between fantasy football and gambling must be, I don't know, 80% of the NFL's popularity. And this wasn't really the case before 2000. It was very popular. People got together on Sundays. But, you know, the Sunday ticket's been a boon for them. Fantasy football everywhere on the internet. I mean, Yahoo is, I can't even, besides email from Yahoo and the search engine from Yahoo, fantasy football might be third in reason we're most as popular as we are and do as much traffic as we do. Just everybody plays fantasy football. They didn't do in 1994. You know, I remember my first fantasy football league. I had Rick Meyer and Drew Bledsoe as rookies, and we literally had a notebook and we would write down the stats with the Monday morning newspaper. And nobody's doing that unless you're really a nerd. But now everybody, I know so many people have a fantasy football league, and that's a huge part of it. And it's a one day thing for the NFL. And you don't, like, I watch college basketball. I love college basketball. I really do. But nobody cares about college basketball because it's on every single night and there's 345 teams or whatever, and you just can't follow it all. It's so easy for people to follow 32 teams on one day a week, basically, with their various night games. It's just, you're right, it's so perfect, and it just keeps growing and growing because of that. There's not a much of a time commitment. It's easy to play fantasy football or gamble or do pools or whatever. It just converges for everything being the reason the NFL is just, like I said, this runaway train at this point.
Now, is that hard for you as someone who, you know, you're not a casual fan of the NFL? Like, you're like, you follow this very closely. You care deeply about the game. Like, there is a certain sort of, like, again, baseball being my sport. Baseball, for the record, like, I feel, always feel bad for you at baseball compared to the NFL, because in any other context, baseball is really popular.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
more people are watching baseball than any other time in human history. It's just that compared to the NFL, everything completely collapses. But the thing is, when I'm talking with someone about baseball, I find myself often, like, with the minute they bring up steroids, I'm like, oh, you don't really watch baseball that closely, do you? That's the casual fan, like, kind of, like, hot take, if you will.
Yes, or it takes too long, it's boring.
Right, when
college football, that Alabama-Ohio State game took, what, like, 17 hours.
Right. And that's the thing, though, is someone, like, you're right, a large part of the NFL's popularity is because it's very easy to follow. You can be an extremely casual fan and still have this a similar experience to, frankly, a lot of people. Like, if you're watching at home, you really can't see what's going on. Anyway, you're not getting the all-22 cam. Like, you know, a lot of times it's guesswork anyway, whether you watch football or whether you don't watch a lot of football. As someone that follows the sport incredibly closely, that I would think that would make stories like Deflategate, like these casual, like Michael Vick back in the day.
Oh yeah.
I have to say I would absolutely hate those stories.
It's weird, and, you know, another good example is Johnny Manziel, because that's all – I mean, it was something like 19% of our traffic in July was Johnny Manziel. It was like that crazy to people, but people love – I look at it this way. Like, I'm a chef in the kitchen. If I have five things on the menu and you're only going to order one every single night, well, I'm going to start just making that. That's going to be my one menu item. I'll give you – you want to talk about the Deflategate? You want to read about it? Here you go. I don't think it's that important, but – you know, that's what people want. You know, Jimmy Connors, hey, this is what the people want. Give them what they want. And so these stories don't, I don't know. I just go with the flow with them because people love talking about them. And there is a certain import. I don't think there's been an absolutely empty story yet. Even Deflategate has, yes, it's dumb. The overreaction is mind-blowing. But it is an important story. If the Patriots did cheat, that I don't think it did, but if the Patriots did cheat, it's a big deal. You know, so I think that it's just part of the deal. It's part of this, everything in the NFL is bigger than life, and we go with that, and I'm fine kind of being somebody who writes about it like that.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I think the when it comes to we should probably talk about the game. There's a game going on. Once we actually get to that point, you know, it's funny. I'm the last time the Super Bowl was in Phoenix, I actually, it was the first time I'd ever been to the Super Bowl. And I wrote about for the New York Times. I wrote two columns a day for the New York Times. I was still doing Deadspin. I followed two columns a day for the New York Times while doing that. Cause it wasn't cocaine, but it might as well have been. And I by the end of that week, by Saturday, I was like, I hate sports. Everyone was selling me something. Oh. Everyone was it just like it was nothing like it was like a big corporate conference. I used to cover the financial services industry. I'd cover like Morgan Stanley like get-togethers at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and it was just miserable. And it felt like that like the whole week. And like my dispatches on Saturday, like commenters are like screaming at me, "You're at the Super Bowl. Stop whining!" And I was like, "I know, but it's terrible here. It's awful." And then the game happened. That was the David Tyree game, and it was amazing. And it was
amazing.
It was like this absolute, like one of my favorite football games I've ever seen. And just and to me, you know, that is always kind of the ace in the hole that the NFL has. Is, you know, I think Sunday's game might actually be pretty awesome.
It should be, right? I mean, it was early December. We kind of figured out, oh, these are the two best teams by far. There's nobody even in third and eighth. How often does that happen in a one and done where the two best teams make the Super Bowl? We get this great, great matchup between the two best teams. I look forward to the game. I kind of, you know, the rest of the week is what it is. It's work. It's a lot of work. I mean, as you know, I mean, people are like, I'm not complaining because I know people hate that, but the game itself, bring it on. This is going to be fun. I really, really, hopefully a good game. I mean, last year's wasn't, and we thought it was going to be a good game, so who knows? But, these are two phenomenal teams, and history, and all the storylines, and everything. But here's the thing. Who do people want to win? Because last night I was at the Pro Bowl. They announced the Seahawks, I think seven Pro Bowl Seahawks who couldn't play. And they got booed off of the field. Like, it was loud booing. It wasn't just a couple pockets of fans. It was like, get off of our field. We hate you booing. And I know it's Arizona and they're rivals and all that. But like, if you hate the Seahawks, I know you hate the Patriots because I've read your emails all week. Are you just hoping like the field gets swallowed up at halftime? Like, who is anybody rooting for in this game?
Yeah, like listen, as an Arizona Cardinals fan, I'm just happy that there was an event at Arizona Stadium where the Arizona Cardinals fans were represented. After the past years and years and years, I'm glad the home field advantage has come enough that we have a rival that we can boo and people will hear us. But yeah, and it's funny because you know I surprise myself a little bit because I generally feel like not only is I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, I should dislike the Seahawks. I find them actually pretty likable. I find them likable. I find them likable in a way that I mean, I actually don't hate the Patriots as much as everybody else does, but I do find the Seahawks pretty likable in almost a subversive way. Like, listen, when you take a step back, like you basically had Richard Sherman at the perhaps the signature star of the Seahawks team. At a press conference, basically at separate press conferences all year, really criticizing the NFL. Criticizing the NFL, criticizing the media complex behind the NFL. Like he talks about Bob Kraft the other day. Earlier, when they defended Lynch, I find something fascinatingly subversive about the Seahawks that I don't know if you see in sports that often.
It's really fun to be around them because we've gotten to this robot mode with everybody where we're not going to say anything because bulletin board material, which is a farce anyway. I don't know why anybody cares about this. And then you walk into the Seahawks locker room, and I've been lucky enough to cover them a lot the last couple of years because they've been really good and pretty close to Denver, so I've gone out there a couple of times. And they do not care. It's like, this is what I wish every team was. Yeah. You go to Michael Bennett, and he'll say something crazy about how they're the 85 Bears. And then you go to Earl Thomas, and he's unbelievable. And Richard Sherman will literally sit in his locker from the moment it starts to like the last guy leaves. He's just that guy. And Pete Carroll is this, I'm just going to have fun with this. I'm not going to be Mr. Football Coach who's just grumpy all the time. I'm just going to have fun. I don't care. And even the Marshawn Lynch stuff is interesting. They are very interesting team. They're one of the more fun teams I've ever been around. And but we all hate – that's a funny thing is this hypocrisy of we – hate the guys who are so boring, right? But then we criticize guys when they're not boring. We rip Rex Ryan for, you know, talking about this and that and guaranteeing this and that. And I love Rex Ryan. Why would I hate on Rex Ryan? I don't care. I like that somebody has personality in the NFL. The NFL has no personality at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why ultimately, like, I do find myself cheering for – I actually, again, to be clear, I like the Patriots. Like, I like Brady.
I do too.
I like Belichick. I often feel like Belichick – one of the reasons he's disliked it, he's like people claim around the NFL all the time that, like, all that matters is winning. All that matters is winning. It's all we care about is a winning league. But, you know, you see guys that have not been that great coaches in the past get rehired. There's kind of this, like, old boys network that you see pretty clearly in the kind of the way it works. And Belichick is just this antisocial, angry, weird little man that wants more than anything else to defeat everyone. And it makes everybody hate him, which makes me kind of actually like him.
Yes, he's the wrestling heel, and he doesn't care. Yeah. He's like, I'm unpopular outside New England, but I don't care. Look at my rings, basically. Yeah. And I love it. I like that, too, and I respect it. He is who he is. The guys I don't respect are, and I covered one of them, Josh McDaniels in Denver, who think that if I'm grumpy with the media, I'm going to be Bill Belichick. Well, no, Bill Belichick just happens to be an X's and O's genius who is grumpy with the media. He's not successful because he's cranky all the time. And just because you're cranky with the media doesn't mean you're going to figure out how to run a defense. You know, so I hate the Belichick copycats because they're not as good usually, and they're just miserable people. But Belichick is just this. Hey, I just don't get into the whole personality thing because it's like whatever you want to be who you are. That's fine. I'm not going to go overboard on that because I just don't care that much. It just doesn't affect me from day to day.
All right. Well, if I've gotten this far in, give me a prediction. I don't want to scoop you if you're like saving one for the site.
No, that's fine. It'll be an exclusive. I haven't written this yet, but I like the Patriots, and I like them actually. Not big score wise, but I think they're going to dominate the game. I think they're just a little more balanced. The Seahawks offense. I was there at that championship game, and their offense looked terrible for 55 minutes. And I think the Patriots could give them some problems too. So I think the Patriots, like a 27-20 game, is probably not as close as that score indicates.
Yeah, I actually would have gone. I was actually really big on Seattle all pretty much ever since they turned it on midseason.
Yeah,
back when Arizona was like three games up, and it still felt like there's no way we're winning this division. And exactly. But that Green Bay game did make me nervous.
Oh, sure.
They look.
And the thing is, people talk about how hot the Seahawks are. Since September, since that disaster in Kansas City, the Patriots have lost one game that they cared about, and that was by 5 points at Lambeau Field. They've been just as good as the Seahawks have been, and even for a couple months longer.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm picking the Patriots well, but like I am. It's funny, as it all gets away and as it's becoming clear that no one's going to get suspended, nothing's going to happen, like we're actually going to get these two teams playing against each other, which I think is going to be incredibly fun.
You know, that's the thing, too. It's like, and I know this is not what people want, because the NFL, more than any other sport, is we want answers. We want who is the best team. And if this team beats this team 21-20 on a last-second field goal, it means that they were the best team. If you play this game 100 times, it's 50-50, right? You're flipping a coin, basically, but nobody wants an answer. Nobody wants to hear that it's kind of luck and the, you know, whatever draw, whatever ball bounces that way. Nobody wants to hear that. They want a prediction because they want to know what team is the best and champion, but, you know, honestly, it's a 50-50 game.
That sounds like a fun thing to be at. I'm excited to be there. I will see. I guess I'm out there now when people are listening to this. But when I am out, I actually do get out there, I love to say hi. Thank you for coming on with me.
Absolutely, man. It was
and
fun.
And stick around. We'll say goodbye to the people here, and then we'll do some trivia.
Sweet. Sounds
great.
All right.
Well, first off, thank you. So again, thanks. It was fun. Thank you. Sorry, let me get your page where I say goodbye to you. I have it all right here. Thank you to Frank Schwab. There it is. Thank you to Frank Schwab. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab, YAHOOSCHWAB. This has been the Willie's Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. And we will be back on, I believe, Thursday with Mr. Schwab's Trivia. So enjoy, and I'll see you all then.